Something odd happened when you were singing.
I forgot that.
There were Lutherans out there that are actually contemplating clapping in rhythm. But then they realized they weren't so sure they had rhythm to use, so they just clapped in their heads. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us can attest to the fact that we have been placed in situations and in circumstances where we've crossed paths with individuals whom we needed to meet. I think such would be the case, the story of Joe and Lou. Both of them, Army veterans. Lou served in the first Gulf War. He was in counterintelligence. And he stayed in the Army for about 6 years. Served his country well. Joe was in Afghanistan. He served there for 3 tours, I believe, and he was in the Army for 20 years. He retired as a sergeant. He was a Green Beret. He was medically discharged after 20 years because he couldn't deal with it anymore. He was in an ordnance group that would take care of IEDs and different explosive devices, and they were in a truck. The truck rolled down over a hill into a river, and all five of them were trapped inside the truck as the water began to rise up. And for the area that wasn't filled with water, it was quickly filled with diesel exhaust. Joe was the only one out of the five who survived. And that was something that truly, truly scarred him to the point that he was given a medical discharge. And he settled in North Carolina, which was the same area where Lou had settled after he had retired from the Army. In today's gospel lesson, we have the widow and we have the judge, the unjust judge, which is, I guess, almost a counterintuitive statement, because we count on judges to do what? To do justice. They're the ones who are supposed to understand the law, make sure the law is applied in a correct manner, so justice is done. This judge, apparently, was pretty full of himself because he wasn't really worried about what God thought of him, and he wasn't worried about what other people thought of him. At least that's what he says. Because when you look in the translation from the original Greek in today's gospel lesson, that part where he says about her bothering him and wearing him out actually refers to him saying, she's going to give me a black eye. And we get these black eye things going on when we feel our reputations are being sullied a little bit by one person's actions. And so I think he was concerned about what other people thought of him. In the end, he was worried about getting this black eye. And why wouldn't he get a black eye for this? Here is a woman who deserves justice. That's the one thing that's clear about this parable, is the woman deserves justice. And so not only is she a woman, which in the ancient Middle East isn't really a good thing in terms of being in a position of power, but the fact that she is a widow makes her pretty much the bottom rung of that ladder. And so she is almost indefensible. She can't do a thing to be able to protect herself because society has placed her in such a low circumstance. But apparently she knows that she has been wronged. And so she keeps pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding until the judge gives in. Not because he suddenly had this great change of heart and wanted to be a good, just administer of justice, but he just wanted to be left alone. And so Jesus uses this parable as an example of how God would deal with us in prayer. If you have this unjust judge who doesn't want to have any regard for anybody at all, who will ultimately give in if you're persistent in your efforts, then what's God going to do for you? Because God certainly isn't the unjust judge, but rather the justest of judges, the most just of judges. But it returns to the point of justice. And that's an important thing for us to remember in terms of what our prayer life is when we approach God with different circumstances and situations within our lives, is that concept of justice. Is God going to make this right for us? Well, God will make it right for us if we deserve that justice. The problem is, quite often, what we perceive and what God perceives are two different things. Where we think that we are being treated unfairly, much like a three-year-old who's being punished for some wrongdoing, God's saying, well, no, you're really not being treated unjustly. You're just living out your life as a result of your actions. But for us, it's sometimes hard to be able to understand that discrepancy that exists because we're so clear about the things that we want, the things that we need, the things that are going to make our lives better, the things we turn to God and say, hey, fix it, please. I'm pushing the prayer button after all. So Joe and Lou met in court. Lou went on after he retired, went to school, went to college, went to law school, was appointed as a soldier judge in North Carolina. North Carolina has a couple of large bases there, and apparently there was such a discrepancy, not a discrepancy, but a problem that was taking place with so many misdeeds being done that they set up special civil courts that just dealt with soldiers. And Lou was appointed to that because he had a special place in his heart, being a retired soldier. Joe couldn't get past that day inside that truck when he lived and his four friends died. As you might imagine, that really kind of twisted him a bit. And so that post-traumatic stress that he was experiencing really led to a series of really, really poor choices. And to be able to try to get those voices in his brain to stop, he turned to alcohol, which led to more poor choices. And so he was arrested on a DUI charge, and he was brought before the judge, Lou. And he received his sentence, which was suspended with the provision that he went into AA and was administered regular testing to make sure that he wasn't drinking. Well, he had fallen off the wagon at one point. And so when it came time to take the test, he figured out a way to cheat the test. But there was something inside Joe's brain that didn't allow him to go the whole way through with it, and he confessed to Lou the judge that he had doctored the test. So Lou wasn't really given much of a choice. He was found guilty of that misdeed, and he sentenced him to a night in jail, which Lou understood was really going to be a problem, because there was something about being in a closed-in place that Joe just couldn't tolerate. And so he made arrangements that he wasn't sent to the state prison. He was sent to one of the local sheriff's offices, and Lou picked Joe up and said, "I'll take you there." And so he took him to the prison cell. They put him in the prison cell. And as he sat there, about 5 minutes later, as he was shaking and crying, the door opened up. One of the sheriff's deputies came in dragging three mattresses. He put one up on the bed frame, and then he put two others on the floor. And he left. And then Lou came in. And the judge spent the night, because he knew he couldn't do it himself. He knew there was no way that Joe was going to be able to survive that night, that single night in that closed space, because of the experience he had watching his four friends die in that closed space of the cab of the truck. And so the judge spent the night in jail with a man he had sentenced. When we talk about the administration of justice, quite often we talk about making sure that we are treated justly. But what we find is in our lives, as we encounter people on a daily basis, that those people, whether they like it or not, stand in judgment of us in terms of the choices and decisions we make about their character, about the way they're dressed, about what the food they eat, about how they look, about how they pray, about all kinds of different parts of their lives. We judge them accordingly. And here in this situation with Lou and Joe is the fact that the judge justly administered to Joe what was deserved because of his behavior. But it didn't simply stop there, because our lives are not ones based on judgment. For those are not really roles for us to play. But our lives are to be based on compassion, and what it is that we might give to others, what it is that we might offer to improve anybody's situation at any given time. That's what Lou did for Joe. And that's what God calls us to do. Because you see, the piece missing out of this parable is the piece about what we are called to do. It is there to give hope to people who pray. That was the point and purpose, I believe, of what Jesus was saying. We pray, and if justice is due, God will answer. You see, sometimes that justice, that answer to prayer, comes through us. God calls us to be the answer to people's prayers. God calls us to respond to people in need. God calls us to respond to people who are crying out in pain. God calls us to be able to be with those who can't be with themselves in any given circumstance or situation. God calls us to be able to share the things that we have. God calls us to go take bags for Vista del Camino to be able to share the goodness of the Thanksgiving holiday. God calls us to take the time to talk to somebody who seems distressed. God calls us to take the time to be able to deal with an angry spouse who doesn't want to talk to us at that point in time. God calls us to deal with our children in any circumstance and situation. God calls us in a variety of different ways to answer the prayers that people place out there each and every day of their lives. I think quite too often we look at prayer as some kind of mystical, magical machine where we just say, oh, please God help us, and God's sitting there pushing buttons and pulling strings to say, okay, here's the answer to your prayers. You see, the answer to these prayers quite often is found within us. Called to be servants of God. Called to be people who go out into the world to do the things that we can to meet the needs of individuals each and every day of our lives. We know what the prayers of people are. We've said them, and we've heard them. Even in the midst of our own prayers, God calls us to be the answer to other people's prayers. Not to be ones who are looking to administer justice, but to be ones who administer love, to be ones who offer grace, to be the ones who offer the care and the compassion that comes to others through God, from God, through us. We are the answer to people's prayers. But we can only be that answer if we take their needs seriously. And if we look at what it is that we can do individually and collectively to be able to serve the world at large, the people at our feet, the people in our street corners, the people in our houses, the people who live thousands of miles away. Their prayers are prayers for which we can attend to, because we can make a difference simply by not looking to serve justice, but looking to give love. Amen.